The Public News Service Joe Newscast, December 27, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. First, from CNN, frigid weather in much of the nation continues to top the news with dozens of Americans dying as a result of a winter storm that brought paralyzing snowfalls across the U.S. Officials in the Buffalo area believe the staggering toll will continue to grow as teams carry on search and rescue missions. Nationwide, the death toll from the storm, which brought more than 40 inches of snow to some areas, climbed to as many as 49 on Monday, with 27 in Erie County, New York. CNN quotes the Buffalo Police Commissioner as saying, unfortunately, they are still recovering bodies. Some died of exposure, and some deaths were due to natural causes. And this is the year New York has seen growth in offshore wind investments, growth that experts hope will continue into the new year.
In 2022, Governor Kathy Hochul announced a $500 million investment in offshore wind for cleaner energy as part of a goal to develop 9,000 megawatts of offshore wind power by 2035. Another step forward for the industry is redevelopment of the 73-acre South Brooklyn Marine Terminal for the staging of construction, operations, and maintenance for several offshore wind projects. And Fred Zalkman with the New York Offshore Wind Alliance describes another highlight.
We've seen significant developments on several fronts. First, we are seeing the start of construction on New York's first utility-scale offshore wind project, the South Fork Wind Farm, which will be 130 megawatts, serve over 70,000 people.
He adds there have been real estate commitments to develop a national offshore wind training center and agreements between developers and environmental groups to protect the endangered North Atlantic right whale during wind project construction. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Next up, researchers at the University of Maine are studying how warming Arctic waters flowing into the Gulf of Maine are impacting the region's lobster population in an effort to protect both the famous shellfish and the communities that depend upon it.
Already, scientists say warming ecosystems have caused a decline in the survival rates of larval lobster and forced some lobster populations to move to colder areas further north. Richard Wally, director of the University of Maine's Lobster Institute, says what happens in the Arctic unfortunately doesn't stay there.
Lobsters are now the elephant in the room, and if things turn down for lobster, it's going to have some really important consequences.
Wally says scientists hope to better understand when and where lobster populations might decline in a warming ocean and better evaluate the impact of different conservation strategies like increasing minimum catch sizes or increasing protections on egg-bearing female lobsters. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
This is Public News Service. Infrastructure problems continue to plague eastern Kentucky. That's months after severe flooding left thousands of residents without housing.
According to FEMA, missed inspections or no response to contact attempts have left more than 2,000 people ineligible for assistance. Scott McReynolds with the Housing Development Alliance explained at a recent press conference that because so many homes were built in the floodplain, it's been a challenge to find available land to rebuild. And what land remains sits much higher up on mountaintops. He emphasizes community leaders are taking steps to ensure residents can rebuild sustainably.
We want to get this recovery right. We do not want to settle for just a box, which is what somebody said. We just need boxes, people in boxes. We want them to have high-quality, long-lasting, energy-efficient homes.
State officials say the number of residents temporarily living in Kentucky State Parks shelters is down from more than 300 to 84. More than 200 households are living in travel trailers at different locations throughout the state, and families continue to transition from temporary living spaces into long-term housing. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
And a number of small dams along Michigan lakes and rivers, some operating for more than a century, are still generating hydropower energy, just not enough.
Officials say the aging dams only generate 1% of the company's power output, costing more to maintain than the energy they produce. Consumers spokesman Brian Wheeler says the federal licenses to operate the dams on the Muskegon, Manistee, Grand, Kalamazoo, and Aux-Sable rivers are set to expire in 2034. He says they've been asking Michiganders what they think.
We've been engaging in community meetings to get a sense of what would happen if we were to consider selling the dams or closing them altogether. And right now what we're looking at is the next step in that process, which is a study in each of these communities to get a true sense of their economic and community impact.
Mark Richardson reporting.
Finally, our Deborah Van Fleet lets us know with the booming popularity of food trucks, the people who own and operate them need a standard set of operating rules.
The Center for Rural Affairs has found a mishmash of regulations for food trucks in Nebraska cities, counties, and Department of Agriculture inspection areas. Jonathan Hladek with the center says this can make it difficult to grow their businesses. He says nationwide, food trucks employed over 38,000 people and generated $2.7 billion in revenue in 2021. And Nebraska needs to join other states that have updated their statutes to adapt to this growing industry.
Primarily, they have all eliminated redundancy and they've all simplified regulations. And so now is the time for us to decide what that modernization should look like in Nebraska.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported on great radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trusted indicators at publicnewsservice.org.